Let all the earth worship him. That's good words and wonderful words. You know, worship is not for God's sake. Did you know that? He doesn't need our worship. He can exist perfectly without us. Worship is for us. Worship builds us up. It helps us to worship God. We benefit from our worship. Of course, he's worthy of our worship. No question about that. God is worthy of all of our worship. But we're the ones who benefit from that worship. And so it is a good thing to worship God. We're glad to be here. We're glad to see those that we've been praying for present today. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We know God answers prayer. We're studying from the book of Revelation. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. We want to read, first of all, verse number 3 of chapter 1. Revelation 1 and 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." There are blessings in the book of Revelation. That's one of them right there. We're going to study today the blessings of the book of Revelation. That's our study for the day. Now, I don't know everything there is to know about the book of Revelation, but I do know what I know, and that is there are blessings for those that hear, that read, that hear, and that keep the things that are written in this book. I don't know everything about math, but I do know some things about math. I don't know everything about an automobile, but I do know some things about automobiles. And so even though we don't know everything that we'd like to know, that doesn't mean we can't know some things. And so the book of Revelation is one of the most intriguing books in all of the Bible. And there are blessings mentioned in this book. Now, there are about three words that are translated blessing. And this is one of them. And the blessings can mean happiness and joy, certainly so. But this particular word means the highest good. The highest good, blessing. What is the highest good? Blessed or the highest good is to he that readeth. And that's what we're doing in this book. We're reading this book. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. And so if we will read and hear and keep the things that are written in this book, then we will receive the highest good. And of course, the highest good will bring joy. Well, what are we to read and hear and keep? Well, let's look at chapter 2. For instance, in the case of the Ephesian church, and by the way, the book of Revelation was written to the seven churches of Asia. And of course, it is applicable to us as well. But in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." And that's what we can read and hear and obey. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We've just read it. Now he says, if you got an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now here's the blessing. If we will read and we will hear and we will keep these things, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now that's the highest good. We'll be able to eat of the tree that is in the paradise of God. And so if we've left our first love, we need to read that. We need to hear that, and we need to repent of that, because the repentance brings the highest good. And that is, of course, what we've just read, that to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there's the blessing of the book of Revelation. We'll be able to be in heaven with God. Notice Revelation 2 and verse 12. "But to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them and the sword with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And so there are charges that are written, and they are to be heard, and they are to be kept and obeyed. And so we've, in times past, we've studied Revelation 2 and 3, and those are the messages to those seven churches. And so we're to hear them, we're to read them, we're to hear them, and we're to do those things as well. And so if we've left our first love, rejuvenate your love for Christ and for God and for His Word and for His church. Now you'll receive the highest good. Verse 7 says, you'll eat of the tree of life. Verse 11 says, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now we'll talk about that later, but I don't really know what the second death is. There are several views on that, but I know I won't be heard of it. And so these are the blessings which the book of Revelation states for us to do. Look at Revelation 2, verse 26 and 27. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And so these are the highest good. These are the blessings. And so there's blessings for those that read, that hear, and that keep His Word. And that's what the book of Revelation provides. It provides us things to hear, to read, to hear, and to do those things that are written in this book. So the book is valuable. The book can be understood. I don't understand everything, but I do understand some things. I understand these blessings. We can all understand them. Let's go to another blessing. That's found in Revelation 14 and verse number 13. We're talking about the book, blessings of the book of Revelation. Here's one. And I hope you'll mark some of these verses in your Bible so that you can return to them and read them later. Now, Revelation 14 and 13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And so it is a blessing. It's a beautiful thing to die in the Lord. Why? What's the blessing? They shall rest from their labors. I don't think there's a person here who hasn't, at the end of the day, been so tired and so weary and so bone tired that you saw that bed and you wanted to rest and you wanted to sleep. Rest is a good thing. Rest is an inviting thing. And certainly when we've lived in this old world, we want to get a rest at the end. We may rest from our labors. Matter of fact, Jesus had that in His invitation when He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so even Jesus invites people to come to His rest. That's what awaits us at the end of the way, is a wonderful rest. You know, that's why we want to have a vacation. We want to get a vacation so we can get away and rest. Usually we have to rest up after we've had our vacation, but we like those rest. Now, there are some people who will not get a rest. Notice in Revelation 14 and verse number 9, it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." Now watch this. "And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Now there are people who will not have any rest. They'll be tormented day and night. There are people who are living in sin. And they're not following the Lord, the Lord's word. They're not reading. They're not hearing. They're not keeping God's word. And those people will not have a rest. They won't have the highest good. Blessings, the blessing of the word that we're talking about here, means the highest good. The highest good is we'll rest from our labors. And that's what God has designed. Now, notice very carefully, Revelation 14:13, it says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Now, that's not there by accident. That's there on purpose. God put that preposition there in for us to know where the location is. That we should be when we die. We need to be in Christ Jesus. Now this morning we were studying from the book of 2 Timothy. And we've already noted several times in that study, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, that grace is in Christ. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. We've also noticed this morning that in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, that there's salvation in Christ Jesus. And so it's very imperative that we get into Christ. Now, you don't accidentally stumble around and by accident get into Christ. No, there's one way that you get into Christ and only one way, and it's one that you will follow, and that is you obey the gospel. You hear the gospel. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We need to hear the gospel. Why? Because the gospel has the power to save us. Romans 1 and verse 16. But we don't need to just hear it. We need to believe it. Jesus said, "If you believe that I am, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." We must believe that Christ is. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, we're talking about how to get into Christ. To get into Christ, you must hear the gospel. You must believe the gospel. And as we've read here in the book of Revelation, we must repent. When we're in the wrong, a change has to be made. And if we're not a Christian, and we're not living the Christian life, we have to make a change. It's called repentance. And that's exactly what Peter told that great crowd on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. When they heard these things, they were pricked in their heart. They'd heard that they were wrong. They heard that they were in sin. They were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the first thing out of Peter's mouth was, "Repent." He said to repent. And so in order to get into Christ, we must hear of Christ. We must believe in Christ. And we must repent of our sins. And of course, the Bible also says that we must confess Him. It says, "For with the mouth," Romans 10 and 9 and 10 says, now watch this, "with the mouth confession is made," and then there, here's this preposition, "unto salvation." You're going towards salvation. "For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so we must hear the gospel. We must believe the gospel. We must repent of our sins. And we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And with confession, we're moving toward salvation. But then the Bible says, as we want to go back to Acts 2:38, when they heard these things, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." So to be saved, we've got to have our sins removed. And so we need to be baptized into the name of Christ. But also Galatians 3:27 says very plainly, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." Well, how do we get into the Lord? Well, we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, repent of our sins, we confess the name of Christ, and we are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. So who are blessed when they pass away? Those that are in the Lord. Well, who is in the Lord? Those that have obeyed the gospel. And so we must obey the gospel in order to enjoy the blessings of salvation. I want to be in Christ. I want to be where God's grace, His favor is. I want to be in Christ because I want to be where the Bible says that salvation is located. 2 Timothy 2:10. And so we must realize these blessings, the highest good is for those who respond to the gospel and obey the gospel. So blessed are they that read, hear, and keep these things. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. You're going to receive the highest good. You will have rest as a result of that. But now let's turn over to Revelation 16 and let's read verse 15. We're studying today the blessings in the book of Revelation. And in this passage of Revelation 16 and 15, it says, "Behold, I come as a thief." Now, the Bible says that in other places. The return of the Lord is going to be unknown to us. We don't know when He's coming. You know, sometimes, probably if we had everybody raise your hand, if you ever had your car broken into or your house broken into, I'm expecting almost every hand to go up. We've had something broken into. We didn't know when they were coming. If we knew when the thief was going to break into our house or break into our car, we'd have been right there. But the thief comes at an unknown time. "Behold, I come as a thief." What does that mean? We don't know when he's coming. Then it says in verse 15, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now we've got to keep our garments spotless and clean. We need to watch. You know, the Bible, Jesus told his disciples the night that he was praying in the garden. Remember, he told them to watch and pray. And he came back and he found them sleeping. And he said, "You need to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." Then he said to them, "For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We've got weak flesh. We've got to realize we're weaklings. I'm a weakling. You're a weakling. We're weak. We need God's help. And so we need to be watching and we need to be ready and righteous for His coming. James 1:27 says, "Pure religion." Notice that word, pure, pure religion. Why didn't it just say religion? "Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, that we visit the fatherless and the widows." There's something for us to do. Our works do, their works follow them. "Visit the fatherless and the widows in the time of their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world." And so we're to keep our garments clean. We're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know, the Bible often refers to sin as staining our garments, staining us. And so that's why we have our sins washed away. Acts 22:16, those stains are washed away. I like that passage of Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet. What does that mean? Well, they just stand out like a red light, like a red stop sign. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. What's that verse talking about? That verse is talking about being cleansed, being clean. And so we need to keep our garments. Keep our garments what? Keep our garments clean and stay away from sin. Look at James 4:4. We refer to this verse a lot. But it'd be good for us to read this verse, look at it, see it in our Bibles, and even mark it. Mark it with a pen. This is something we do not want to do. James 4:4 says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." We're to be watching. The blessed person of the book of Revelation is one who does not become friends of the world. You don't think like the world, you don't talk like the world, and you don't act like the world. Don't be a friend of the world. Don't think like the world. Don't talk like the world. And don't act like the world. If you talk like them, you think like them, and you act like them, you're going to be a friend of the world, and then you'll be an enemy of God. You know, Jesus wants his church to be... You remember that verse in Ephesians 5:27? He wants his church to be without blemish and without spot. Without blemish and without spot. That's how he wants the church. The Bible says if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And so if you wear the name Christian, act like a Christian. Don't act like the world. If you wear the name Christian and you act like the world, then that makes you what the Bible says is a hypocrite. You're only pretending. You're pretending to be a Christian, but you're not acting. You're wearing the name, but you're not living like a Christian should. So this verse says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We've got to be watching. You ever look up in the blue sky and say, one of these days, well, I might look up in the blue sky and the Lord's coming. The Lord might come right now while I'm looking up in the blue sky. He's going to come. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come quickly. And we need to be living the Christian life when he does. Well, let's turn to another blessing of the book of Revelation. And that is in Revelation 19. And I'd like to begin reading here in verse number 1. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants." Really, that's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about it. God's, or part of it at least, is about avenging the blood of his servants. "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." God punished the enemies of his people. "And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worship God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia." Alleluia is sort of a shortened form of hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to be careful how we use that word, hallelujah. Hallelujah has a meaning. It means praise the Lord. We have a song in our songbook that says, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We're saying it twice, actually. praise the Lord is the meaning of hallelujah, and hallelujah means praise the Lord. And so let's be careful how we use that terminology. We need to never use the name of God flippantly and just in a mundane way. And then verse 5 says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. That's what we're doing today. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's the church, that's us, that's you and me. That's why we need to keep our garments. And his wife hath made herself ready. You know, we need to be prepared. He's going to come as a thief in the night, but we need to be ready. And to her, that's the church, that's the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, watch this, it stands for something. The book of Revelation is full of symbolism. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Let's live righteously and not unrighteously. Now verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, here's that blessing, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are they that come to the wedding supper, the marriage supper. We all like to go to weddings, don't we? We went to ours and we had fun, didn't we? It was one of the most fun days my wife and I ever had, was on our wedding day. We had a great time. And weddings should be a great time. And we like to go to weddings, and they're joyous because two people who love each other very much are joined. We love to be in those situations. Two people want to spend the rest of their time on earth together. Well, we're going to a wedding supper, but we're the bride. It's going to be a joyous day. And it's going to be a great occasion. And our groom is Christ. We're going to be joined to him. We love him. Oh, how I love Jesus, we sing. We love Jesus. There is a name I love to sing. It's the sweetest note on earth. We love Jesus. We love to sing. And we're going to finally be joined with him. It's going to be, that's a blessing. That's a wonderful blessing. Weddings are pleasant and full of joy. And certainly the bride and groom are the ones that have the greatest joy of all. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I have espoused thee to one husband, even to Jesus Christ. And so we are the church. We're going to be at the wedding supper. We're going to be with Christ forever and ever. What a wonderful blessing and occasion that's going to be. That's one of the blessings of the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that reads and hears and keeps my commandments. Blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth, that he may rest from his labors. Blessed are they that are watching and clothed in righteousness. Blessed are those that are coming to the wedding supper. Now let's turn to the book of Revelation 20 and verse number 6. And here's a blessing. We were going to mention this again, the first resurrection. Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so it is blessed. Now the first resurrection, there's a difference of views on that. Of course, it's in a book that's filled with symbolism. Some say that's baptism, the resurrection. When we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life. That sounds like one that would be the right one. Others believe that it's when the soul leaves the body. The soul leaves the body and goes to be with Christ, as Paul said in Philippians 1, 22 and 23. And some says it even symbolizes the truth being crushed by the Roman government and then rising again to be preached again. Whatever it is, whatever it is, it's a blessing. And I want to be there. And I know that if I'm obedient to the will of God, I will not be hurt by the second death. And so it is a wonderful blessing. But let's go to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. There's two blessings to read about here, and both of them are very similar. It's Revelation 22 and verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. And so when the Lord comes, He's going to come in a swift way. It's going to become quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, we've talked about some of them. Keeping our garments, watching, repenting of our sins, making sure we maintain our first love. And so blessings come from keeping the sayings of the prophecy of this book. By the way, there's this great important saying right at the very end, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So guess what? I'm not going to add anything to it. I'm not going to put anything in there that we ought to do that's not in the Bible. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And so if we'll keep that, if we won't add anything to God's word or take any things away from God's word, then we'll be doing what verse 7 says, part of it anyway. But now verse 14, and this is the last blessing, and they all join together and tie together, but Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's what we all want to do. And so we need to be obedient servants. That's really what the Bible is all about. From Adam and Eve on through, it's about obeying God. It's about keeping his commandments. The writer of the Ecclesiastes said, the whole duty of man. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. What is the conclusion of the matter? Well, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So we need to keep the commandments of God. Doing God's will is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was an obedient son. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 says, though he were a son, even though he was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. He was obedient. Christ was obedient. He was obedient when it was hard to obey God. He prayed very sincerely and very intensely in the garden. Father, let this cup pass from me. He was praying so intensely in the garden that he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. But you know what? He got up from that prayer and he went on with the being arrested, and went on being tried falsely and being crucified. He was an obedient son. And so we are to be obedient too. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Yea, the death of the cross. He became obedient unto death. What kind of death? Worst death imaginable. The worst death you could have on the earth. He was obedient to that degree. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to obey, even if you mean your life. So these are the wonderful, wonderful blessings of the book of Revelation. God wants to bless you. He's not trying to make life hard and awful. God wants you to be happy. He wants to live with you forever and ever. I don't know how he wants to do that, do you? How in the world does a God so magnificent, so awesome, so mighty that he can make every snowflake different from another one so that no snowflakes are exactly the same. That's his awesomeness. And he wants to spend eternity with me and with you. We're nowhere near his greatness. We're nowhere near his holiness. We don't come close to anything that what he's like. But God sent his son to die for our sin. That's an awesome thing. And we're thankful for it. These are the blessings of the book of Revelation. And there was five times in Revelation 2 and 3 that people were told to repent. And there may be someone here who needs to repent. You've left your first love. You've grown lukewarm. You haven't been doing what you should be doing. It's okay to come and repent. We're glad to make that invitation on behalf of Christ for people to repent. Maybe you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. He's going to come. And nothing we can do can stop it. We can shove it off in the back of our mind and say, I'm just going to put that out of my mind for right now. That won't stop him from coming. That won't stop us even from dying. We're going to die. You can't stop that. You can't stop his coming. You can't stop the judgment day. What we need to do, we can't stop it. We just need to be ready for it. And so you can be ready and you can receive these wonderful blessings. Do you need to come? Do you need to be baptized? We talked about that earlier. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And that's a wonderful blessing. And if you're not in the Lord, you haven't been baptized, then be added to his church today. Won't you come as we stand and sing?